Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Pep and Ched Season 2. That's right. I'm your host, Megan Nash, and I'm so happy that we get to do this again. Thanks for tuning in. I'm so excited. We're starting off the second season with a bang. The one, the only, Tara Lightfoot is on the show today. And let me tell you, buckle in, because this episode is pretty goofy. We plan her wedding. We start my business. It was such a productive podcast, let me tell you. It might have had something to do with all the Coke Zero and the energy drinks that were consumed. I don't know. Let's get right to it. Today's guest is Tara Lightfoot. Tara Lightfoot, let me tell you, I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy that you're taking the time out of your very busy schedule to speak with me. No one's going to believe it. No, everyone's going to think this is fake. Up to this point, they still think it's fake because I haven't let you talk yet. So they think I'm just rambling by myself.
Oh, you know what's happening to me right now? I have to be honest. This is my busy day. I'm trying to creep your dog on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And my computer is saying that I have to log in. So I can't even see your dog if I'm... That's my main goal for the day. That's what I was doing until we got on this call.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, it's kind of a big day. But, yeah, I'm happy to take the time to be on your podcast for sure.
So, are you able to log in? making this now about you seeing what my dog looks like.
Well, I had my phone on airplane mode, as a good podcast guest does, mm-hmm. but now I'm going back on. Megan Nash Music on Instagram.
Yes.
Is Shiloh a girl or a boy?
He's a little male dog. Yep.
He's a little male dog. Okay. He has the cutest bow tie on, and he has a very smug face and beautiful brown eyes, and I love him. So that's a good place to start.
Thank you so much. That was actually taken at Darnell, my guitarist's wedding. Darnell and Kelsey, his now wife, they got married that day. I actually did the ceremony.
Oh, that's amazing. Did you have to get ordained? Are you a priest? Yeah, priestess.
Yes. No. I am a I'm a marriage commissioner in the province of Saskatchewan, and the power is vested in me by the province of Saskatchewan. I wed them. I don't know. I've only done the one wedding. I did all the paperwork for that wedding, and then I was like, well, maybe I'll do a few more. But honestly, I was so stressed out to do the wedding paperwork because I thought like,
right.
What if I mess up and they're not actually married?
Right.
I don't have anything else in my life that's that high stress. You know, if I mess up something with my own career, it's like, wow, whatever. It's my mistake. It's my career. But like, if I make a mistake with them, it's their wedding.
Oh, I lost all the merch money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's my mistake, my career. So that was stressful for me. So I've never done another wedding, but I still technically can for like 8 more years.
Well, I will say your description of how you were ordained or whatever the word is sounds so wonderfully secular, and I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it is a wide applying kind of authorization that you have to do that. So I think you should keep doing it because, yeah, I'm getting married. Maybe I'll hire you.
What? I think I has to be. I don't know this for sure, but I think I'd have to marry you in Saskatchewan. So are you willing to have your wedding in Saskatchewan?
Oh, wow.
Maybe
this
not.
This is a big day. Well, you know what? That's my next thing. I was just looking for like destination wedding locations on Google. So I think Sask sounds good.
Well, yep. I'm sure when you Google it, Saskatchewan was just like right in the top 5.
Regina came up first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so great. Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's like very exciting. And second of all, I'd be honored. I would do the paperwork to the best of my ability. I would hope for the best. And if it makes you feel any better, Darnell and Kelsey are married. They double checked.
Okay, so they've done all the, they submitted the paperwork. You did a good job. That's what
they checked somehow in the back end to see if it was actually done properly, and it actually did. It did happen. So that's very exciting. So when do you
Thank
think
you.
When do you think you will get married?
I think we're gonna do it next summer. And funny enough, I mean, we talked about too, Jim Cuddy marrying us, which would be so funny.
Yeah, that's very cool.
He's kind of like my awesome. I don't know what you would call Cuddy. He's like he's a good dude. Like kind of like a good sort of, I don't know, like your dad's friend or something. That kind of character in my life. That's who he is. It's like a cool non-uncle.
Mm.
And then I also thought about Fred Penner. How fun would that be?
Would you ask him to before you walk down the aisle, if you're doing that? I don't know what the layout of your wedding is going to look like. I don't know how traditional you want it to be, but would Fred Penner, would you walk down the aisle and then Fred Penner would come out of the log, or would you not ask that of him? Would you also come out of the log? How would this work with Fred Penner?
I think it would be a triple log wedding. I think it would have to be. We could get a fourth and Penny could be in there. It'd be perfect. I can't believe we're talking about
that. Yeah, I love it. And actually, I know you have a busy day, you have a busy schedule, and I honestly feel like we're gonna plan your wedding. We're planning your wedding right now.
That's what this is. It's actually a wedding planning podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what people turn to me for. The Pep and Ched wedding planning podcast. Here's the thing. I became a marriage commissioner while I was going through a divorce.
Right.
So I know how to get into marriage and I know how to get out. I'm your well-rounded marriage commissioner. That's what I should say on the card.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a great... You know, be there on the way up and be there on the way down. That's a great slogan. You know, there for you all the way through and at the end of your marriage.
Yeah. See, okay. Wow. We're planning your wedding. You're planning my marriage commissioner career. This is great because I don't know how many shows I'm going to have in the future. So it's good to have something in my back pocket, you know?
I think too, like I know there's that free business card website and I feel like I could get on there and start ordering some marriage commissioner business cards for you if you're into it.
By the end of the podcast, there'll be like 500 shipped directly to my door. Yeah, sure.
This is so dry. It's crackling. We are so dry. I can't.
I really do appreciate you coming on the old podcast with me today. We usually try to talk about touring, but you know the chat will go wherever. But I want to take the listener back to the last time I saw you. So that's a weird way of phrasing that, isn't it? That's a weird way of phrasing that. But the last time, but you were one of the last few people I saw like outside of. In the industry, you know what I mean? Like that you're like the, cause I saw you in the UK in January, 2020, February, I didn't really do much. And then by March, we're all at home locked down. So I remember like experiencing, Americana UK, January, 2020, got the whole band there. It just seems like such a far distant, weird memory. But I remember, and I can totally edit this out if you're uncomfortable with me bringing this up, but like you gave me like the nicest, I don't know, just like words of encouragement and like life pep talk for lack of better word. Like you were just like so kind to me because I was like really struggling then, and I don't know if you just like picked up on that or if I told you, hey Tara, I'm really struggling or what, but like I feel like it was a bit more intuitive, like you could just sense it, and you were like, you said so many nice things to me that I've like referenced a lot mentally throughout the last whatever months it's been.
Oh, I'm getting teary. Are we supposed to also get teary on this wedding planning podcast?
Yeah, it's a roller coaster. We laugh, we cry, we plan weddings, we make business cards, we do all kinds of things. Do you mind if I crack open an energy drink?
Okay, you know what? I'm going to tell you this, and I wasn't sure what kind of podcast this would be. I know it was about Pep and Chad, but shortly before this, I was going to pour myself a glass of Coke Zero and bring it upstairs where I'm sitting with my computer and my setup here. And I was like, I don't want to be drinking Coke Zero on a podcast. That's kind of weird. You know? And then I just guzzled it and came up. Now I just have water, but...
I was gonna say,
but now you're telling me you have an energy drink. I'm like, I should have just enjoyed it.
Yeah. No? Well, I'm sorry. I don't do very, like, full disclosure, dear listener, I don't do a whole lot of prep for this podcast. I'm like, hey, do you want to come on the podcast? People say yes. And then I just say, all right, I'll send you a link 2 minutes before we record. Like, that's like how I do this. Basically, because like one time I did a pre-scheduled meeting on Zoom. It didn't work out. And I've never done it since. Like, it just, I didn't do it right. So I always just like wait until the moment. That being said, I should have made it clear that you can drink whatever you feel comfortable drinking during this podcast. But I actually have this wait, do you want me to pause? Do you want to get another Coke Zero, or is that
No, I'm sorry. I'm cry laughing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thank you. So I'm drinking a brand new energy drink that I've never drank before, and it's like a sparkling water but with energy drink. With caffeine, but with energy drink. It's like sparkling water but with energy drink. And I'm just gonna I'm just gonna crack it. This is not an ad, but there we go. It's grapefruit.
That sounded like an ad to me. Personally, it did.
And that like, is
I thought that sounded great.
Well, this is I'll just give it a review real quick. Okay. Oh, that's actually pretty good. Yeah, that's actually pretty good. I think this could actually be kind of dangerous for somebody because it does say on it, it has 85 milligrams of caffeine, and it tastes like nothing. It tastes like a bubbly. Oh, that's something.
I feel grapefruit too can sometimes be a polarizing choice. If it's too sour, it's like too much. You know what I mean?
This is,
you know, whether you're getting a sweet grapefruit or a sour, you know what I mean?
100%. And this is just right. Cool. This is just right. Are you an energy drink person on the road?
You know what? I am not to the point. I remember somebody gave us a case of energy drinks once, like after a show, we were gifted these and we carried them around with us for 2 weeks searching for someone to give them to.
Were they Rockstar? Were they Monster? Do you remember?
I think it was a brand that was trying to get started, and maybe that was the issue, but we didn't even try it, which is kind of strange in hindsight. I will say I had an experience in New York City once with Four Loko. Have you ever tried that?
No.
I would not advise. I don't know if we're going to get sued for talking about different kinds of energy drinks. but I remember we were recording and who was this band from Hamilton, TV Freaks, didn't have a place to stay, but I had an apartment that I was renting. And so I invited them to come and stay. But I think I had like one Four Loko, maybe two, and they were kind of late. And it was like full on, like craziest night maybe ever. Like it was energy drink, but also booze.
Oh,
so that,
yeah.
I think that maybe was a thing where I was like, I don't know if I need to go down that road. Now I'm a faithful coffee and maybe a zero or something, you know, it's kind of my scene.
Yeah. I just had a Coke, Diet Coke with vanilla the other day. And I don't know if they've been out for a while, but I was like, so excited. Oh, I love the tangy zip of aspartame.
I know.
So do you also love the taste of aspartame? Because I feel like I don't know a lot of people who do.
I'm not opposed to it in any way. I'm sorry, I just keep getting the giggles because this is ridiculous. But yes, no, I do.
Well, that's kind of rude, Tara Lightfoot. That's kind of rude. No, I'm just kidding. No, this is here at the Pep and Chad Inc. We try to have fun.
I feel like, you know what? I feel like my like diet pop thing is as close to Pep and Chad because I don't eat pork. So I want to be in on the pep and ched kind of aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the caffeinated drinks are my way in. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
100%.
Because I want to be in the pep and ched club. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Tara Lightfoot, you are. You are in the pep and ched club. I feel like you've toured a lot. I know you've toured a lot. I was going to say, I feel like you've toured a lot. What kind of sentence is that? I'm going to retire. This is the first episode of season two and I'm done. I can't be saying things. I can't be saying, I feel like you tour a lot to a road warrior.
I haven't
seen anybody yet today, Tara. I've been at home alone.
That's okay. It's okay. You're doing great. Let me give you some more encouragement. You're doing awesome. Your podcast is awesome.
I'm so alone. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. But just like with that, the time in London, what was your experience like at Americana UK? If you want to go back to that time, because like, did you do much in February afterwards? Was that kind of like your last international event too before we got locked down? Like, do you think about it a lot? Because I think about Americana UK a lot because that was the last time I was like out in the world, you know?
It was so great. I remember having like the best, like really great hangs at those things aren't always set up for that. I remember like, you know, I got to know Del Barber really well. And we, you know, my bass player and I really loved Del. So we had like a great, you know, a great walkabout where we all of a sudden were, I don't know, 2 hours away from where we were supposed to be because we had just kept walking and talking and enjoying ourselves. Was it a conference, a festival? I don't know. Yeah, a festival.
I think it was.
But I remember that show. Yeah. I remember that show that we played at the Moth Club. It was our only rock show with Frankie, who's our drummer, who I'm getting a call. Oh, what happens? My best friend. Oh. Should I pick it up?
Well, we hear them as well. Do they want to be on the podcast?
Hang on. Okay. Hang on. Mal? Hey, I'm just on a podcast. Can I call you back? Okay, I love you. Okay, bye. That's my best friend, Mallory.
Aww.
Yeah, hi, Mallory. Could you hear her?
Couldn't really hear her, but we just got to hear you declare your love for a friend, and I'm very pro, like, telling your friends that you love them, and I'm just like, that was a really, really sweet moment that I would love to keep in the episode, if you're okay with that.
I'm totally fine with it. See, this is what happens when I'm looking for pictures. I'm a fangirl for your dog, Shiloh. And in finding pictures of him, I had to turn my phone off airplane mode. So that's why I got a call. But where were we? Americana. Yeah, I remember that show at the Moth Club vividly because it was the last show that we played with Frankie. And it was like a crazy... I just remember like summoning the healing power of rock and roll. Like it feels like... Now that I look back on that, it was coming from the ground, like through everyone's feet. Like it just like that show just rocked. Like there was no other word for it. And it was kind of like a last chance to dance moment because we didn't know, even that in January, we weren't sure when the next tour was because I wouldn't have had a record out for like, you know, 8 months at that point. So we were all, you know, we also stayed in the little house nearby. Like it was such nice band time. There was a little fireplace. So we would just go home at night and sit in the living room and visit, you know what I mean? After a long day. I know you're into like a tea and a visit too. You mm-hmm. love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But yeah, I mean the bands were great too. Like, you know, Stephen Fearing was there. You were there. Elliot Brood, those Union Duke guys, they were very sweet. It was such a great experience. And I remember actually had a great conversation. Stephen Fearing kind of really got to me with a songwriting tip at that show. He said he was telling me a story about somebody, a friend of his that had written a book, but she hadn't gone to get it published. And she was sitting on it for like 6 years and she wasn't, you know, just wasn't feeling confident in it. And I guess like, after a while, she was like, okay, I don't think I'm going to do anything with this manuscript or this book that I have. And she went to the store and off the shelf picked up a book with very similar characters, very similar plot, like written by someone else. And this person wasn't somebody that she knew. It was like not an issue of plagiarism, but Stephen kind of explained this like otherworldly phenomenon that could be like when the muse comes to you or when you get an idea for something, if you don't run with it, like if you don't pursue it and take it to the end of where it's got to go, sometimes it goes somewhere else and you lose the opportunity. And that like that hit me so hard because there are so many songs. I know we all have songs that mean something to us, but we're like worried about how they'll be perceived, or, you know, like there's so many reasons we don't release something, whether we don't get the arrangement right or whether we want to do it solo and we have to record it with the band or the other, you know, the reverse. That really stuck with me. I was like, whoa. And that's come from every great songwriter that I know, like personally, or have been able to be mentored by them. Like everyone says the same thing. When you get an idea, like pay attention to it, nurture it, pursue it. So that was a big takeaway for me from that tour, just the deep talks in Americana, you know, full on.
Yeah. 100%. I really love that. And I appreciate you sharing that. And then like that conversation you're having at Americana UK, and then the next minute you're like telling me I'm worthy of love and like,
Oh, I know you.
Yeah, Americana UK. Let me tell you, it was a really good time. It was really special. I feel like it was such a whirlwind trip. My band, they were just at Folk Alliance. And so they flew right from Folk Alliance, which was in New Orleans at the time that year, and met me in London. And I was really struggling in January 2020 with sleep. Like I had never right experienced insomnia before, and my heart goes out to everyone who has experienced that, because it is like one of the most frustrating experiences I've ever had. And so I was like dealing with that, and then you had like jet lag on top of that, and I was just like, you know, I was just like very much like step by step, I'm gonna just get through this, I'm gonna keep my head down and just go through and get through this. And I had just like gone through a breakup when right after I like kind of put myself back out there, like after like, you know, being separated from like from my ex-husband, I like tried dating again, then I like had a breakup, and I was like, so it was just like so sad and like not sleeping very well. So yeah, I guess you like never really know. Like you never really know when like you say something and it's going to really resonate with people, or like, and that they're going to say, you know, they're going to ask you to come on their podcast like 18, 19 months later or however long it's been, and be like, that really helped me. That really meant a lot to me. And so this is what I'm doing now. You never know when this is going to happen, you know?
So I love it.
Yeah. And I remember your set there too was so awesome. We were in my band and I were in the back by the bar and just like having the best time. It was so good. It was so, can you imagine that set right now? Like just like that packed room of people.
No. Oh. I know. Yeah, it hasn't been the same like since then. So actually I had gone to New Orleans too.
Oh, very cool.
I remember. Yeah, it was like a crazy, there was no way to do both of those festivals like in an appropriate way and right still be a human.
Right.
You know, like back to back. But yeah, I mean, I remember too, after that, I went to Scotland for a bit, and I think I actually got COVID. There's a video of me running barefoot in the ocean, like being totally crazy after going on a really long hike. And I remember I got so sick that like, I couldn't move. Like I was in the Highlands of Scotland with a, you know, like staying at a place I'd stayed before. And it's so beautiful there. And I love like, you know, I love being outside there. I love seeing everything that the Highlands have to offer, because it's like, it's truly some of the greatest scenery in the entire world, which I'm rewatching now because I'm watching The Crown right now. It's all about the Scottish Highlands, season 3.
Wait.
Anyway.
Oh, season 3. Because like season 4 should be coming out soon, right?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember. Maybe it's season 4 I'm watching.
Wait,
I think it's season 3.
Oh, okay. Cause is it out already? Okay, I'm going to have to Google this after. Sorry, I'm like so sorry. Is. I interrupted your story. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. And then I think, so anyway, I had like stayed home for an entire day, like couldn't move, like slept all day, which is not at all like, not at all like me. And I have elderly relatives in Edinburgh, and I was catching a flight home from there. And the plan was to stay with them. And I remember being like, guys, I'm not going to come. I'm just going to get a hotel. It's my, my grandma Lightfoot's brother, Peter, who like I only met in my adult life from touring, because otherwise I never would have met him. Mm-hmm. And he never comes to Canada, but he's like, he's so awesome. And his wife, Betty, is so awesome. And they're Lightfoots or whatever. So it's like, you know, nice tradition to see them. And I remember like, I went there and I just like basically blew my nose for 24 hours and like tried to stay away from them, mm-hmm. not knowing anything about COVID. And like, they never got sick, thank God. But you know, in retrospect, I was like, if I had COVID, I'm so glad I did not give it to them, because that, you know, it was just, yeah, kind of crazy. But I think too, my bass player was sick after Americana. Did you guys get sick too?
No, we didn't, thank goodness. And yeah, I'm so, you know, grateful that you're better now and that nobody else got sick. But yeah, no, I don't even remember what we did when we got home, but like thank goodness nobody got sick. And then it's like, yeah, it's just so bizarre to think about like how 2 months after that, the world looked completely different. On that note, we just need to take a quick little break and then we'll be back with more. Cause I really want to know, when you're in the Highlands, what are you snacking on? But I'll ask you that after the break. How's that for like a segue? Oh,
sounds great.
Hi friends, this is Pep and Ched with Megan Nash. Today's guest is Tara Lightfoot.
I now have the most beautiful mug full of Coke Zero, and I'm ready to go.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. Cheers. Cheers, my friend.
Weird, brother.
So when you are when you're in the UK, like, do you have like a special like favorite UK snack that you reach for when you're touring?
Halloumi, because they have so much halloumi. It's the most delicious thing in the world. The other thing that I usually get if we're going up north is this place called Tarvey's. It's an insane, it's like, obviously the UK is known for their deep fried everything. And this place has something called like an OMG haggis burger. And since the Lightfoots are Scottish, I think I like found my heritage when I had a haggis burger.
So, oh, I love that.
Yeah, I don't know. How did you find it? Like, halloumi is my favorite thing ever. It's salty and it's cheese. Like, that ticks all my boxes personally.
Yeah. Well, I remember this time, like the last time being in the UK, I remember going to the grocery store, which is like one of my favorite things to do when touring, is to go mm-hmm. to the grocery store and just like see what snacks I can get that I can't get at home. And I noticed there were so many Cadbury cream egg type treats. Like, there was like different Cadbury cream egg cakes and stuff like that. I just remember seeing a lot of that, and I I've mentioned it before on the podcast, so I'm not trying to just like harp on the same thing, but when I was in the UK in May 2018 or June, whenever that was, whenever the royal wedding was happening with Meghan and Harry, I remember I was in a grocery store and I saw like a special like wedding cake, like wedding merch cake that they had made, and I didn't buy it. I even was like there was an Airbnb that I was staying at. I was staying out with friends, like my friends in the band Hello Delaware. They were all at the hotel or at the Airbnb, so like we could have all had cake together, but it was just so expensive, you know, and I was on tour. But like, I think about that a lot, and I think something that I have, you know, you always like, we all know, like, you just gotta, when you want to do something, you know, you never know when the opportunity is going to come around again. You just gotta go for it. You gotta do it. But I never really did that. Like, so many times I'd be on tour and I'd be, you know, flying over, you know, I'd be flying across the pond. I'm like, oh, next time I'll go to Scotland. Oh, next time I'll go to Scotland. So hearing you talk about Scotland, I'm like, okay, next time I go there, I have to go, because so many times I said next time. And then like, when you're sitting in like a tiny little house during a pandemic in like April 2020, you're like, I should have gone to Scotland. I should have done it.
I know. Yeah, man. It's crazy. Like, if I don't book my, you know, kind of solo time or time with John or you know, it's basically, I won't get a vacation ever unless I pack it on to some touring. And it's been so healthy to do that sometimes. I remember one of my favorite and most transformative trips ever was after, I think we had been to Australia a second time. And then I had a US tour right after. And I kind of went to the halfway point in Germany. I think I had some shows there too with Scenic Route to Alaska. But I had like 3 days in the mountains in Austria. I went to Austria. I couldn't even remember the country for a second. And I stayed on this farm, like an Airbnb farm, and I ended up becoming friends. Like I'm still friends with the family that lived there. But I was in one of those retired moments after Australia. And I think we'd been to Japan before that. So it was like, I think maybe that was the time I was out for like 9 weeks. Like it was just a really long tour. Maybe just before I'd been out in Canada with Bruce Coburn. So this was like super long, like almost 3 month thing. And I like get to the airport in Germany and my car rental's not there. And I'm like, oh God. So luckily the woman like took pity on me. I think she sensed how I was feeling and she rented me a BMW like station wagon, but it was still like a ripping car, even though I don't know anything about cars. And I just like drove on the Autobahn, drove myself to Austria to this farm and then like went to Italy, drove through the mountains, found snacks everywhere. So many snacks, so many castles, so many like, you know, strange graveyards and cemeteries. And there was a cat, like, you know, there was a cat on the side of the road in the mountains. I just like pulled over and pet him. I had a coffee at this like legendary, like basically a mountaintop. It's a motorcycle route. And there's just a little cafe. Like you won't see anything for an hour on the road. And then there's just a cafe on this mountaintop. And I got the best Americano I've ever had. And the guy let me keep the cup, even though he couldn't understand what I was saying. I couldn't understand him. I was like, I want the cup. I don't know how to speak your language. I'm so sorry. And I just gave him extra money. And he was like, see ya. At least unless, you know, he never called the cops. He could have been saying like, please give that back. Crazy person. But
next time anyway. You go up there, there's like a photo of you hanging. That's like, you know, that's like saying like this person stole our mug. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what I've felt like. That's literally that's how I have to do it because we're on, you know, it's like kind of a new world of existing as an intermediate musician. Like nobody has like tons of cash. You know what I mean?
Oh, sorry. Your internet just went out for just a second. No one has too much. What was the word you said?
It's just, you know, no one has like the resources to just consistently like book. Like,
right.
Let me rephrase. It's so much easier to care for oneself when you can, you know, book in some time for you outside of touring. Like if you can bookend, if you're going to Europe, like go 3 days earlier, like stay three days later and like invest in that you time, because you're the only person who's going to do that. Like I love my manager so much, but he's not like, hey, you should take a vacation.
Yeah.
Like, of course he's cool with it when I'm like, hey, I'm going to take some time off. He's the best. But it's not like something that is worked into our like work plans. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're, you know, you're Megan Nash, you gotta advocate for you anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do for me. Mm-hmm. I was going to say too, I remember a moment and I want to say this to you because it's not about travel, but it is about like, you know, taking action. I remember when I first met you at Regina Folk Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I can't remember what song it was of mine, but we did this workshop. And at the end of it, I played a song that was like really, maybe it was just kind of like one chord. It was either D or G. Can't remember which chord, doesn't matter. But you didn't know it. And I was like, it's okay. It's just these notes, just this chord. And you played the whole tune and you like jumped in with both hands and you did it. And I was so happy.
Oh my gosh. I remember that moment so much because I was so nervous. Because like, I am like, You know, I got into music because I love writing songs, right? Like, I come at it very much from, like, a singer-songwriter perspective. That's where I'm most comfortable. Like, I don't teach voice. I don't teach guitar. I never learned that way. I do songwriting facilitation work. Like, that's another thing I do. But, like, I was like, no. And then I remember that moment. And I remember, like, oh, gosh. I remember that. Oh, that's so nice that you brought that up.
Did you enjoy it? Or were you like, oh, my God?
Well, no, I enjoyed it, like, but I was also, like, very nervous. It was just like, you know, one of those experiences where you're just like, it's just like an extreme feeling of emotion, you know, because I was just like, oh, I don't know if I can. But you were, like, so kind and encouraging. And also during that workshop, and this is, like, when I really, like, fell in love with you was when you, because I was that year at the Regina.
Hang on, I have to get another sip of Coke Zero.
Okay.
Okay, continue.
Refreshing. I didn't know if you wanted to do a little ad there, if we wanted to try to get this sponsored or...
We're doing a wedding planning branding podcast.
Sponsored by...
No. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No. During the workshop, so that year I went to the Regina Folk Fest as a duo. So I brought my sister Jenna along. So we were performing, like, doing all the workshops, like, the two of us. And you started a group chant with the audience of saying, like, being like, Jenna, Jenna, Jenna. And I just, like, my heart just exploded, because it's, like, one thing to say something, you know, nice to me. I always, like, appreciate that. But when, like, somebody, like, when someone, like, gives my sister some love, I'm just like, I love you. Like, I love my sister so much, you know,
my sister, I'm sure I told you guys both this, but my sister's name is Jenna too. So there's a link there.
Is, older, younger?
She's younger. Yeah. I just saw her. We just had the best, sister hang, 'cause she lives in kind of near, I guess it's like 3 hours away from me. But she came to a show and we got to hang out the next day and have coffee, and it was the greatest. You know how good those short hangs are.
Yeah.
Another benefit of touring, when she lived in BC and I guess in Calgary for a bit too. I saw her honestly more in those years when she was living out west than I did when she lived in Ontario. You know?
Yeah.
Because we're playing so much. But sisters are the greatest, and they should be celebrated at all times.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That year, my sister and I did a lot of duo stuff, and that was really fun. We went out on tour and just, like, went through Alberta. And I remember we played a house show that was put on, like, the parents were obviously, like, the ones, like, booking the show, but, like, the real promoter was, like, this 5-year-old. And, like, yeah. So this 5-year-old's parents, like, saw me play once in, like, this tiny little bar in, like, Red Deer, and they bought a CD, took it home, and then they were listening to it in the car or something, and their kid was in the car, and, like, I guess she just, like, really fell in love with my songs. And, like, this was, like, an album I released years ago, which is just voice and guitar, really stripped down, really, like, I don't write kids songs, like, it's like, I was really surprised that these songs really resonated with this, like, small child, you know. And they messaged me, they're like, would you play, because so many of my gigs around the area are, you know, in bars, they're like, would you play a house show? And, like, we were pulling up to the yard, and there were all these signs that were, like, hand drawn by her promoting the show. Like, she was doing all the advertising. Yeah. And then at the end of the night too, she went to a different room and brought out this, like, mic, like, she wanted to, like, talk gear at the end of the set, you know.
Whoa.
Yeah,
that's,
it was
amazing.
It was really cool. And but my sister was with me for that, and Jenna's pretty awesome. Does your Jenna play music?
Okay, this is another huge thing. She just started playing guitar.
Like, oh, nice.
I guess maybe a year ago now. And I could not believe it. When she started playing, she also started singing, and she has such a beautiful voice.
Mm.
And this is a girl, she's like, you know, she's like 26 or something. And of course, like, I remember singing with her in the car or something like that, but, like, never noticing any of, like, these beautiful nuances. She's gonna be so good. And it's really funny too, because my grandpa, the guitar descent in my family is reverse matrilineal, so I started And then my dad, my biological father started learning. And then my biological, like my dad's dad, my grandpa started learning. And then after that, my sister started learning. But my dad are, and my grandpa are not progressing as quickly as she has in the past year. And they've been at it for like a while now. So it's really amazing to watch her, like, I don't know, it to me, it's like she's like taking flight with it. Like, it's just so perfect for her. And she's already so, like, it just suits her, you know what I mean? But I think it's proof that, because on that side of the family, the only other pro musician is my aunt, who literally like played in country bands in the 70s and like toured around and, you know, did the Legion circuit, and is like a fantastic guitar player. So it's really funny that three women in our family are like, you know, I think there's something to be said for like the familial connections and there being something that's just like in our blood, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it other than to say that like, maybe it's, a gift. Maybe that's what it is. You know what I mean?
Some yeah.
People get a gift. And it's just so beautiful to watch Jenna progress. So that's really making me, I'm sure you can sense my ultra pride in her.
Yeah.
No,
that's
rambling.
No. I just hearing like, yeah, you speak about your sister like that. Like, that's like really cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really love that. I forgot to tell you earlier when you mentioned you were in the Highlands eating haggis. I used to Highland dance, Tara. I want you to know that.
Oh, yes.
Did you ever do
that's
that?
So great. No, not. I mean, I would. I never had the opportunity.
Yeah.
I think I did ballet and I sucked so bad they kicked me out. Maybe I did jazz. There's a really cute picture of me at like 6 years old in an adorable like dress with a poodle on it, like sequin poodle. And I was in a dance, some kind of dance recital. But after that, I think maybe my family was just silently like, we're just going to not sign her up again and see if she notices.
Well, costumes are a lot though too, right? Like, there's always new costumes, there's always practice, it's a big commitment.
Yeah, also I don't think I could have done Highland. It's so complicated. There's a whole grid, isn't there? You need to have like a whole situation set up. Is that true?
I don't know, like, I didn't, full disclosure, I didn't get that far because like I grew up on a small farm and there was like really bad drought for a couple of years and they're like, there's a drought, you can't do dance anymore. I'm like, okay. So yeah, no, but there was I learned the Highland Fling, I learned the sword dance, so maybe that's like, you know, you're dancing over swords, so that's a bit of a, you know,
whoa, grid.
And you know, it was so awesome. It was mainly meter sticks, but like, it's so fun to be like a kid and like be given swords and like dance over these, you know. And then I was starting to learn the lilt, but then that's like this one, that's the dance where you wear this like really like beautiful like white dress before. Oh. The other two dances I was like in the kilt and in the vest, but I think I was like by 11 I was already out. But I did compete once, not trying to brag, I got gold in the Highland Fling. So if you ever want to, you know, next time we cross paths, if you want to learn the Highland Fling from a gold medal.
I think we should just go to Scotland and just, you know, compete.
Yeah.
I think that's what we should do.
You know, yeah, just dive in.
I'll be your manager.
I
will be your manager.
I thought we were both competing. Like, I thought.
Well, I would. I feel like you've got the Highland dancing gift out of the two of us. It's yours. And I think we should, you know, go ahead. We should pursue it until then.
Here's
just like writing songs.
Here's just a thought. Yeah, here's just an idea. This is just, okay. What if you played the Highland Fling on guitar, and just like for like someday when we see each other next, and I did a little dance. We could make it 15 seconds. We could put on the internet. People would love it.
You know what? I'm on TikTok now, so this is really appealing to me. I feel like this is a perfect TikTok idea. So that's what we need. You know what? We don't even have to leave our houses. I will I'm learning about TikTok. You have to duet with people or something.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I will set this up so we can be on a split screen. I will learn how to play the Highland Fling, and you will dance, and it'll be so great. What do you think? Are you in?
Yeah. I've never heard the Highland Fling on anything besides bagpipe, so I think it'll be interesting. You know.
I think it's going to be a challenge for us both, but a healthy one. Because I mean, what are you doing this fall?
I don't know.
What am I doing this fall?
I don't know what we're doing. I'm really glad that we're making plans.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we can do. I was going to say, too, like, I don't know if I asked you yet, but I started this year doing weekly co-writes, and I thought I was going to do it every week. I didn't end up doing that, but I ended up writing on Zoom with people, like, every Wednesday. And it was so healthy and so awesome and so good to connect with like road buds, people that you don't ever get to see. And so maybe I'm going to start that up again this fall. So maybe we can write a song together.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that so much. You know, I haven't done a lot of like the online performances. I just haven't found that to be too comfortable whenever I've tried. And I also haven't tried that hard. But something I love doing is like writing over the internet with people. It actually... I don't know. I really love it. I don't know. Yeah, I would be honored. And I'm really grateful that you asked. Thank
Amazing.
You.
and there's proof of it on the podcast.
Yeah. This is recorded. This is recorded.
We've got to turn something great out. It's got to be great.
Oh, gosh. We have a lot of work to do.
No pressure.
We have a lot of work to do. We have to do a TikTok, a Highland dancing TikTok. I just dream of a day too where we're like in Scotland eating haggis together.
Would you try? Have you eaten it before?
As a child, I did. Yeah, because I used to dance at like Robbie Burns night and stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, I think it would be great. Yeah. I think too. You know, I'd go back to Americana UK in a second. So maybe if we go back, then. You can take a little trip to the Highlands. One of my music videos was filmed there in all those beautiful places I'm talking about. We went out one day, my friend Angus, who's a photographer, he basically like shoots landscapes and things around where he lives. And his view on photography in the Highlands, like just in his one small village, is that since the weather changes every day and you're always shooting in a different time of day, like he probably won't ever be done shooting that area in every different light and every different, like, you know, whether it's raining or whether it's a gray sky or a sunny sky or whether, you know, it's windy. There's like so many ways to look at the land there.
Mm.
It's like so interactive. I love that. But we shot a video in a lot of those places. It's called All Alone. It was one of my first videos, I feel like. But it's just me with an electric guitar not plugged in, walking through fields in Scotland.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
We'll share that on the Pep and Ched socials if that's okay.
Yeah.
And then
totally.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Old school, really. That's like three records ago, but whatever.
Yeah. Wow. How much do you feel like you change between records? Like I feel like when I listen back to the one I released in 2017, I'm like, that's a different person. Like, do you feel that? Or do you feel like there's like this, like, or do you know, do you know who you are? Is what I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Have you known who you are for a long time or are you insecure?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I think you, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I love that. I think, yeah, it's absolutely true. Also, my manager would tell you that I hate every record that I put out right after mixing. And then later I'm like, oh, that's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, I mean, thinking about the one that I did, I think I released one in 2017 also. Compared to Consider the Speed, which I put out last year, which sounds funny to say. It's totally different. You know, I found the guy, my John, the guy that I'm going to marry. I found like a solid relationship that makes me happy. We moved to a different place. Now things are totally different. And actually my next record, what I'm planning to do is produce it myself, or at least an EP. And I'm saying this, and it might not work out that way, but that's what I want to do, because I've also become a producer in the past couple of years. Like, there, I've had an extremely wonderful foundation of like learning about myself over the past, you know, 3 years or 4 years or whatever it is. And I do feel like I know a little bit more of what I want. And part of that is to just like not think about music too much. Like not worry about it, like make it fun and try and make it something that feels good when I'm recording it. And that's about it. But it hasn't always been that way. And I feel like a lot of bands, a lot of us try to find that. Like it's, I call it like the fifth member of the band, four people. Another thing I figured out recently is that I don't know if we're going to get an extra person, because we've been touring as a trio now for several years. And I felt really pressured to like, you know, get someone to play keyboards or, you know, an extra kind of instrument. And now I'm in a place where I feel like I don't need that anymore. I don't need to be covered up. I feel like confident in our rock trio, and I don't know, you know, I don't know that we need someone else, if that makes sense. And I'm happy kind of, yeah, like it's every time I'd play as a trio before, like basically the end of the summer, I would always end the show and think like, oh, well, how would it have sounded with this extra piano part or this extra harmony or whatever. And I just recently like found this beautiful place of being where I'm like happy just the way it is, if that makes any sense.
Well, it really slays. Like the trio is like so great. So I think
thank
it's
you.
Like hearing you say that, like I'm like, well, you know, not trying to dismiss like any of like your thought behind it, but I'm like, of course you'd keep the trio or like do, you know, like it just works so well. And like, I'm just like, I don't know. I've thought about your set at Americana UK a lot. And like that was the trio, right? Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really rad. Yeah. It was really rad. I can't believe it. This is our time. This
what
is
are we,
time.
What are we supposed to do now? I guess I'll just get back on my phone and look up pictures of your dog.
Yeah, I'll have to send you the folder just of all the Shiloh pics. Actually, just one quick question I'm going to try to sneak in here. Favorite tour snack in Canada?
Ooh. That is so difficult. There's been so many things, so many good snacks. I'm thinking of the opposite of a good snack. I remember one time I was trying to do keto and I found myself with John on a picnic table eating a boiled egg somewhere in Saskatchewan from a gas station. And I remember thinking, this is the worst snack that anyone's ever had.
We laughed, we cried. Tara Lightfoot, that was such a joy to get to talk to you. Please go give Tara Lightfoot all your money. She's the greatest. What I mean by that is, you know, buy her music and buy her merch at taralightfoot.com. You've been listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan, and we have some folks to thank. The Creative City Center is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, Sask Arts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. And this podcast is made possible because of the ongoing support of these agencies in spite of everything that's going on in this pandemic-fatigued world we live in. Special thank you to the Garys for the music. The Creative City Center is a community-based arts center that used to present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are a home for a lot of online production, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they're cooking up besides all of this pep and ched with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Okay, bye-bye.